Growing the Game with Baldy, episode 44, brought to you by our fine sponsors, Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. 2337th Avenue in Regina, by Paul Waldo, Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. Or Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out or you want to rent a travel trailer, check them out at wheelestate.ca. And I'm joined by Paul Waldo, three-time Grey Cup champ. And I mean, really, there's only one topic to talk about this week, the release of Daron Carter. Were you shocked?
You know, Baldy, I was and I wasn't. Two-headed answer there for you. I think I was definitely shocked because I felt like Chris Jones was his kind of coach. I think he was a guy that probably understood Daron in ways that others haven't, hence them obviously re-signing him and using him the way they used him, and so I was kind of shocked in that sense of it. And they put up with him for so long, I was kind of confused as to why they would, you know, why would they would get rid of him now at this point in time in the season where they're battling in a Western Conference that's been just as strong probably as I've ever seen it. And on the other side of it, you know, I'm not really surprised. Obviously, being a former player, I'm understanding the business. As of next week, Daron Carter would have been guaranteed the rest of his salary. You know, a hefty one at that, that is ranges around that $200,000 mark. And you know, heard that the cap is, the Riders aren't really cap friendly right now and don't have the influx of cash, obviously, with the signings of guys like Travis Bond and releasing those guys and such. So, it didn't surprise me where, in my opinion, they were trying to obviously offload some of that space for the cap there and try to save some cost on a guy that potentially is overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, you know, I think over the long haul, Paul, it'll be addition by subtraction. But right. My problem with it is you get rid of Bag, you get rid of Chad Owens, you get rid of Bakari Grant, a guy who scored 10 touchdowns for you last year. Yeah. At the start of the year, we're thinking, man, this is an unstoppable offense. Now, all of a sudden, you get rid of Daron Carter. And really, do you have anybody in offense that scares you? Because, I mean, Naaman Roosevelt bangs his head. He's out. And I'm not cutting Naaman down, but he has an injury history there. You got a young receiver in Jordan Williams-Lambert. You got another young receiver in Shaq Evans, who we were told was going to make you forget about Daron Carter. I think that was overestimated. So it's a head scratcher. It's almost like this offense is an inconvenience. They just put it on the field to give the defense and special teams a breather.
Yeah, I mean, and you've mentioned this, you know, numerous times, being back to weeks, and that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the offense is an inconvenience. You know, it's like they just want to win games with special teams and defense, and you can't do it in this league. And you know, one of the first indications might have been last week when Daron Carter was inserted back into the starting offensive lineup, and he was placed, you know, at that. Normally where he would be at that boundary side X receiver, and now all of a sudden he's not there anymore. So he's, you know, inserted into the strong side of the field at that number two receiver where Caleb Hawley will get inserted back into the lineup. And I felt, you know, that was my spider sense kind of went up there, and I thought, yeah, well, you know what, maybe not. Maybe they're just trying to get him into space and maybe, you know, they got a lot of faith in Evans, and they feel like, you know, Daron can be used better in the slot. But that should have been the first indication.
You know, Daron Carter, say what you want about him, he was great in the community, and he probably was the biggest face on this football team. Like, he was the face of this franchise. If you saw a current jersey, it was probably a Daron Carter jersey. I think this team's lost a little touch of the community.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he was the face of the franchise, and that's undoubtedly whether you loved him or you hated him. You know, the community and the fans overall had the utmost respect for him and how he interacted with the players. He's going to be missed, I think, from a standpoint where you knew he was a big play guy, and he was a guy that was big play on the field, big play off the field. Most of it was all fun and all good, but obviously there was some baggage and some negative things that came along with it. I think it's going to be tough for the Rider Nation to get accustomed to it, and you can hear by the outpour via social media, Facebook, Twitter, and even Instagram, where the fans are not happy about this one.
You know, we'll get to Terrell Owens in a second, but the guy who just went into the Hall of Fame, Randy Moss, Daron Carter looks up to him. He calls him Uncle Randy because, of course, Randy and Chris Carter were teammates together. Chris, of course, Daron's dad. The difference between Randy Moss, though, and Daron Carter is Randy Moss, he was outlandish. He wanted the ball. He spoke his mind like Daron, but he worked hard at his craft. He was a professional. Daron Carter, to me, is lazy and doesn't work hard at his craft, and that's really his downfall.
Yeah, and I think that can be said. That can be an argument for why Daron Carter isn't and didn't do things like as opposed to Randy Moss would have done in the NFL, right? And that's the biggest thing you look at, and you say, well, you know, they're both athletic, both tall, kind of got the same type of abilities, you know, come from great football pedigrees and backgrounds, but yet once again, it's a work ethic. And it's not that I don't think that Deron did work hard while he was on the field. I know from a defensive standpoint, I mean, I watched the guy personally, I think play 40, 45 snaps on defense, play about 15 on offense, and then went and returned kicks and punts due to an injury. But I just feel like his overall demeanor. I know he wasn't a weight room guy. They said he never lifted a weight ever, period. You know, and he was pretty lazy on offense when, you know, when he wasn't getting the ball on that, I think is the difference, right? Everybody's expendable, especially when you know, when you got a lot of negative things, you know, tacking up on you, you know, you get some cap issues and all of a sudden you're out the door before you know it.
It's been a real head scratcher for this team this year. You spend all the money bringing in Zach Collaros. You think Zach Collaros is going to have the most weapons he's ever had this year, you know, this year in his whole career. Yeah. And now Deron's gone, Bakari's gone, Chad Owens is gone, Rob Bagg is gone. He's throwing to young guys or Naaman Roosevelt, who doesn't get the ball all the time. Caleb Hawley really has been a disappointment, either because of scheme or his own lack of ability so far this year. It's just been a weird. And then you have the last week, you have the head scratcher of the lineup card being filled out wrong.
Yeah.
You got Brandon Bridge, who you let rip it last year, and this year you don't let him rip it, and his confidence is shot. It's been really a weird year so far.
I think the team's in a bit of disarray right now. I felt like they, you know, after stringing...
That's an understatement.
You know, after stringing a couple wins together, I thought maybe they were trying to find their way and had a bit of identity, and now I think it's all exploded. I mean, you know, you're going to look at Evans, Lambert, or I guess Caleb Hawley now, as well as, you know, whether it's Stafford or Devon Bailey playing out there, and those guys combined, I bet you probably, you know, don't have more than a couple dozen games. You know, you know, you got Naaman, obviously, who's probably the veteran, and even Naaman, you know, they've only been around for three years, if that. So, you know, talk about missing leadership with guys like Bakari Grant and Chad Owens, guys who've not
but the
guy,
but the guys you talked there, the guys you talked about there. Sorry for cutting you off, Paul. The guys you talked about there. Who scares you? Who scares you on that offense? The guys you just talked about.
Oh yeah, no, not a single soul. I mean, and Naaman can't scare you if he's getting triple teamed, double teamed, if he's getting spot coverage, if guys are pressing at the line and having help over top. So you really don't. You need a minimum of two big threat receivers. We talked about, you know, when the national, what you call it, the Air Force was over here, obviously, when I was in Montreal with Twos and Beg, and obviously guys like Dressler, Getzlaff, you know, and then we did it in Montreal. You had Ben Coon and Jamel Richardson and S.J. Green and you know, Kerry Walkington. You got to have a minimum two, three big-time receivers. Otherwise, it negates it. It almost extincts the one prime-time guy you have.
Okay, Paul Waldo, you played in this league to what age?
From what age?
No, what age did you quit playing?
I stopped playing at 32.
32 years old. Now, in your honest opinion, how long could you have played at a high level? Because you were still at a pretty high level when you were done.
I was anticipating on playing another year, maybe two. I mean, I think probably a couple of extra years I could have been. Obviously, you know, I'm only playing 25 plays a game as opposed to playing, you know, 45, 50 snaps on defense. But I think, you know, I think I probably could have had two. I mean, even just off of, I think, from an experience standpoint, although I obviously wouldn't have been as athletic as I was at 22 years old, but just my experience, you know, my craftsmanship, understanding the game, my football IQ, and then just having the desire to work hard with anybody would give me a couple more.
Yeah, okay. So, and the allure of playing professional football, nothing replaces running out and having 30,000, 40,000 people scream for you and cheer for you, right? Running out of the Ryder Tunnel or in Montreal. You don't get that in the real estate game, even though I know you're really jacked up and you help your customers out. And we'll get to that in a second. But what the hell are we doing looking at 44-year-old Terrell Owens? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, they're absolutely and insanely out of their mind. I mean, you know, working out guys that are 45 years old when you should have been out looking for defensive backs. It took you 6 weeks to find somebody. I don't understand. And you could say what you want. Yeah, that, you know, Chris Jones happened to be in Chattanooga while he was home for the bye week. Well, you know what? He spent 2 hours on Terrell Owens where he could have spent 2 hours elsewhere, you know, trying to make this football team better in other ways. So to me, it's just more of a distraction. And like you said, you're cutting guys like Bakari Grant, who's got CFL experience for almost 10 years, who's still about 10 years younger than Terrell Owens and got 10 touchdowns for you last year. That makes no sense.
No.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
What does make sense is Paul Waldo, 306-502-5355 with Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Is there a deal that we can expect you to send our way right now?
Yeah, you know, we've got another listing coming out here in 5906 Dagalish, beautiful McCarthy Park area. It's a cute little 900-square-foot bungalow, double detached garage. It's a nice corner lot. It's, like I said, a great home for a first-time home buyer, anybody who's wanting to raise a young family. So give me a shout, 306-502-533. Paul Walden with the Home Expert Team at Royal LePage.
That's right, and that's Paul and Ball and Football. You're the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy. Thanks for this, Paul.
Awesome. Thank you, Ballsy. Chat soon.
This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and I'm joined now by Avery Wagner, quarterback for the Ripple Royals, and entering his grade 12 year. My high school's flown by fast, hasn't it, Avery?
Yeah, it has.
Now, you're into your second year as a starting quarterback for the Ripple Royals. I know you were in kind of a two-man platoon with Riley Wilson last year. What are you hoping this year for you personally as you head into your grade 12 year?
Well, like, obviously everyone wants to start. So that's kind of the goal for me right now, just going into training camp. Grind week's going to be a big week. Me and Riley will be battling it out. So hopefully I can take that number one spot.
What do you need to do to get that number one spot? What do you need to do to take that next step this year as a quarterback?
Just be more consistent, know my reads better. I've been doing a lot more studying of film on like other teams and everything so I can get more mentally prepared so that it just comes easier to me and I don't have to really think too much and I can just act naturally.
We'll talk more about your team and what you expect this year from your team in a minute. Are you excited? Are you anxious? It's your grade 12 year. I know more schools are looking at you. And tell the folks, you know, who have you been in contact with, if you've been in contact with anybody so far?
Well, the only people I've really been talking to are the Regina Rams and Regina Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard of other schools that have interest in me, but I haven't talked to them yet. Yeah, so that's really it.
I know UBC's quarterbacks coach, Jay Prepchak, was out doing a camp recently, and you worked out for him. How did that go?
That was pretty good. I mean, I learned a lot from him. He's a great guy. He's super smart, very intelligent, and it was fun working with him.
You're a good athlete. You like to run around a lot, and we'll get into the receiving part of your background in a minute, but would you say is your best attribute as a quarterback?
I'd say, like, the leadership. Like, I can really get the guys going. I know what to say. I'm trying to be more composed. Last year I know I wasn't, but this year I'm trying to be more composed, stay more like calm when things are high and when things are going bad. So, yeah, I'd say that's my best attribute.
Would you like to stay home and play football or would you like to go away? What would your first option be?
First option would probably be to stay home.
Yeah.
But obviously leaving home, that's a good option too. I mean, it's more of a possibility of leaving home than it is staying.
You want to be a quarterback, though? Does it have to be a quarterback spot for you to go to the next level, or are you willing to take a receiver spot or wherever they want to put you?
I'm willing to move. But, I mean, quarterback is obviously the number one option for me.
Yeah. You know, you were part of the U18 team. Now, you tried out as a quarterback, but you went there as a receiver and were part of a championship, a gold medal game this year. Tell me about that experience.
I mean, yeah, it was great. Just being in Calgary with all the boys, it was fun. It was a very good experience. I learned a lot, and it wasn't just about football. Like, coach even taught us a lot about like just life lessons. And it was a really great experience.
You know, that's interesting because quarterbacks are usually alpha males. They want to be in control of everything. But you just took that role on as a receiver and you didn't get a lot of playing time. I think that's a part in your maturation process. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I could, yeah.
What's the biggest takeaway you had from that tournament besides winning the trophy and being a part of a championship team? What's the biggest thing you can take away there to apply to the Riffle Royals?
I was just actually talking about this with my grandpa the other day. But the biggest thing that I want to bring over to the Riffle Royals that I learned from the Canada Cup was just like, I was really inspired by the coaches just because of the dedication and hard work they had. You could tell that they had barely any sleep because they watched so much film. They brought in these sheets that had so much, like, they'd tell you all the coverages they ran by down distance, by field position. They'd show all the blitzes and everything, just the percentages of everything. And it inspired me to like bring that back to the Riffle Royals and for me to study harder.
You know, it's interesting because Miller is looked upon as the powerhouse going into this year in Regina 4A high school football. They had eight guys on that U18 team. It's kind of sneaky, though, because you guys only had two guys, yourself and I believe Peyton O'Connor. By you guys, I mean the Riffle Royals. But you could have had more players playing there. So do you think you guys are kind of flying under the radar this year, but you're going to be pretty competitive?
Oh, yeah, very, very, yeah.
Where do you think the strength of your team lies going into this year?
Our chemistry and our game planning. We're going to put a lot of effort into the game planning this year. I know I will. And I want to kind of force it upon my players, like my teammates, to also study as hard as I will. And I think that'll just be like the game changer for us.
You know, they've got a grade 12 laden team. Miller, your team is a bit of a mixture. You got some grade 12s, but some younger guys. And you got a lot of weapons around you on offense. When I look at your offensive team, if that O line can hold up, you might be able to have some time to spread the ball around.
Oh, yeah. I believe in the O line. I believe in them. I mean, we got a good running back. We have like five good receivers. Like, it's going to be great.
Yeah, awesome. So, what's your goal? What's your goal team-wise? You think a city championship or provincial championship is realistic for you?
My mind is just on provincials right now. Yes, sir.
Avery Wagner joining us here for the Growing the Game podcast. And lastly, I guess before we let you go, if you had to, nobody's watched Avery Wagner play a game, and you're going to play. You open, I guess, a preseason game against Winnipeg. They want to come out and watch a live field. They can. How would you describe your play to those that are listening here and haven't seen you play yet?
You're going to see a lot of leadership out there. You're going to see me have good control of the offense, and there's going to be a lot of movement on the field. You're going to see lots of scoring too.
All right, that's what we like. I like scoring teams. Avery Wagner, thanks for this.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh, want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home realty experts, and by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca. This guy's famous for being the people's champ, one of the big Rider fans, Sheldon the Caller. Sheldon, how are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm pretty happy, but I'm also a little bit confused.
Happy and confused, okay? And I know, obviously, the big topic in Rider Nation is Daron Carter. Take it away, my friend. What do you think?
Well, I know as much about it as everybody else does. Obviously, you know, I thought we were going to get addressed by the media and you know, get in on the ground scoop, I guess, as to what happened, the reasons why he's gone. We didn't get that. All we know is that he was thanked for his services, and now four other teams that we're competing against are now interested in his services. I figured that after they put him back on offense last week, he caught a pretty big touchdown for us, allowed us to stretch the field a little more. I figured he'd be a focal part of the offense going forward. So I guess I'm just confused. I mean, you had this guy for 8 or 9 weeks. You spent six of them putting him on defense where he's not used to, and our offense struggled. You put him back on offense. He looked effective, and now he's gone. I'm basically baffled as to why he's gone. I don't know what the case was. I'm assuming it had something to do with his off-field performance as opposed to on-field, because on the field, as you know as well as I do, last year he was an all-star with us. Caught, you know, I think more yards pretty much than anybody else in the league. So why is he gone? I don't know. I'm obviously not happy about it. I don't think this is a good thing for our offense. Did they have a plan in place to bring somebody else like Terrell Owens in or another prospect they're looking at? From what I understand, they're planning to put Caleb Hawley out there in his replacement. I don't see Caleb Hawley replacing Daron Carter. I feel like it's more of a Band-Aid than anything. I'm confused, Baldy. I'm pretty disappointed, to be honest with you, because for the last 6 weeks I've been telling you on air how much I think he should be back, part of the offense, part of at wide receiver, where he's been a CFL All-Star two out of the last four seasons. Now we don't have that weapon. So where do we go forward from here? How does the passing game look? Your guess is as good as mine, man, but I'm confused and a little upset at it. I hope that it works out, but
yeah, I'll tell you what, it's been an odd year. You get rid of Bakari Grant, who had 10 touchdowns for you last year, 11 if he doesn't celebrate before he goes over the goal line. You get Chad Owens, who had the most reps in camp along with Rob Begg, and you lose a lot of leadership there and talent, but you're thinking, okay, we're still okay with Daron Carter. Then, like you said, 6 of the 8 weeks, he's on defense. But I wonder almost if this is an addition by subtraction over the long haul. I mean, how many pro athletes need to meet with their coach 5 to 10 minutes every day? Like last year, that was the scenario. This year, Chris Jones kind of left him on his own. I don't know. I almost feel like it's addition by subtraction. Only though, I guess, if we had those other guys, because right now we got an offense that I don't think scares anybody.
And that's just it, Ballsy. You just nailed it right there. Rob Bank, Owens, Mecari Grant. These are three guys. They weren't all-star wide receivers, but, man, they were serviceable. We could use them when we spread the field or we're down late in the game. At least we have options on the field. I mean, we don't have those options. We have Naaman Roosevelt, and everybody knows that. We have an offensive line that looks suspect at best. So now you're expecting, what, the offensive line to hold up that much longer to what? You know, to free up guys that I just don't think are capable of being standout wide receivers. You finally get De'Ron Carter back on offense. He shows a flash of greatness. Give him a couple weeks to, you know, bring him into the fold again and get used to his feet. The guy's going to be out there performing. And now you just basically, we have nothing left at receiver. We're depleted. And I hate to say it, Ballsy. I'm not a big fan of insurance because when I draft my fantasy football team every year, you draft it because you expect those guys to be healthy for what they can do on the field. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to running a football organization, I always feel like insurance is the best policy, especially at vital positions. This is a passing league, okay? You need receivers as weapons. And the fact that you don't have Bag, you don't have Owen, you don't have Grant, and now you cut Carter, what happens if a guy like Naaman Roosevelt or Caleb Hawley go down? We've seen Roosevelt get hurt a couple of weeks ago. That could potentially be a season-ending play for us. Because if you don't have receivers to throw to, you're not going to move the football. I don't care how many Trey Masons or Thigpens you've got coming out of the backfield. Sooner or later, the defense is going to pin their ears back and come off to the quarterback because he knows that those receivers aren't getting off their jams. And you need that downfield vertical threat, and that's what De'Ron Carter was. And you know what? I agree with you, addition by subtraction. He was a bit of a problem child at times in his career. But, you know, we made a commitment to him to develop him and see what he could do for us and how he could help us on the field, and now we don't have him. And I understand that the finance aspect of it. You know, we released him before week 9, before we have to pay out the remainder of his contract. If you don't see him as part of your future, you let him go and you try to build somewhere else. But Ballsy, where are we going to build now around receiver? Well, we've got Roosevelt, but if he goes down, what do we have left? You tell me right now, what do we have left if Naaman Roosevelt goes down? You tell me.
I can tell you. Probably Jordan Williams Lambert, this guy that they said, Shaq Evans, who I think is a good kid and is learning the game, but they said this guy will make you forget De'Ron Carter. He hasn't made me forget Michael Elarms, let alone De'Ron Carter.
I'll tell you what I'm forgetting, Ballsy. I'm forgetting who we have at receiver. I don't even know who we have anymore. We've lost 4 of our starters from last year. Who do we have left?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see this team performing adequately against an Edmonton, a Winnipeg, or a Calgary, especially on the road or in playoffs, without any weapons. You've got to have some talent up there. And our defense, you got to credit those guys. They've kept us in every single game this year. That's why guys are still tuning in. Our offense has only put up 7 or 8 touchdowns in, what, 7 weeks? Like Ballsy, that's not going to cut it. When you play Calgary and Edmonton, that's not going to cut it. We've seen it last week, too. We fell a little bit short to Edmonton. Defense kept us in there. Well, now we don't have De'Ron Carter, so we can't really throw the ball deep. Our offensive coordinator seems to think that these 5-yard hook routes and these swing passes out of the backfield are going to get the job done for us. They're not ballsy.
No.
I agree with addition by subtraction, but I agree with that move in the offseason when you can develop guys and bring guys in to compete that can show something. Now you're expecting a guy like Caleb Hawley or some of these younger guys who haven't had snaps all year in game time play to come in and perform at a high level, over the top, make one-handed catches, burn defenses deep, keep the safeties honorable. I'm sorry, man. I don't see it happening.
I don't disagree with you, Sheldon. I think it's addition by subtraction over the long haul, but I agree with your last point there. Do it in the off season. I mean, we're talking about spending money, but here we go. They've added Marcel Young and Purifoy, who could be another head case from Ottawa, depending on what story you believe coming out of the nation's capital. But it almost feels like Chris Jones is using the offense, like, it's like the offense is an inconvenience. Like, it's there to go on the field to give his defense and special teams a breather. Doesn't it feel that way to you?
Well, I told my buddy a week ago, I think if we started punting on first down, I think we'd have just as good a chance to win the game if we just punt it, because the turnovers kill us, the sacks kill us, and that those game changer meant, like, honestly, our defense is the reason why we're in games. But you know what, Ballsy, this to me is another huge, huge distraction. Right in the middle of a bye week, you're coming in to play Calgary. This is a pivotal game for us. We don't win this, Ballsy. Our best-case scenario is we're probably crossing over to the West. Winnipeg is getting better. Edmonton and Calgary are both solid. Like, this is a time now where BC just had a big win at home against Edmonton. They're creeping up the standings. We can't afford to lose games, or at the very least not to be competitive. This is a big distraction now for this team. And, I mean, there's guys on the team that I'm sure have built relationships with De'Ron Carter, quarterbacks, receivers. How do you think they feel about it? And for a guy to be given that kind of reason, hey, thanks for your services, we're parting ways? Like, I don't know if he was told more or less. I assume that he was told just what we were, because why else wouldn't he have tweeted it out once he was let go? You know, this is a guy that's been very vocal in the media, has been very vocal on the game playing field. You figure that he would explain as to why he was leaving or what he was told, but he was told nothing, apparently. Yeah. Now, I don't know what the real issue is. I understand you make coaching decisions that are beneficial towards your team and going forward, and you wanted to build chemistry. Maybe he wasn't fitting into that chemistry. Maybe he had too big of a head at times. I agree with that. I was critical of him before with that kind of stuff and the penalties. But Ballsy, this is a game changer out there that we're letting go. And I'm a firm believer. You want to make a move like this? You either do it in the off season, or if you do it during a bye week, you better have a vital plan in place. There better be somebody coming in to fill that role as effectively as he is when he's out there healthy, wow, running routes for us.
And I think that's the issue, because I think De'Ron Carter's a lazy player. I think it's easy to tell when he's not getting the football. He saunters on the field when it's not, you know, in the practice field. I've watched practices. I don't think he's a great leader. I think he's a me guy, but you just hit the nail on the head, and we've talked about it. If you get rid of Owens and you get rid of Bag and you get rid of Bakari Grant, and then you get rid of De'Ron Carter and don't have a serviceable backup, like you said, to come in, that is a bit of a head scratcher. Hey, before I let you go, Sheldon, what do you think of working out T.O.?
Well, listen, I mean, I was told the other day that this guy has one of the fastest 40 times that the CFL has ever seen at the age of 44. I'm not going to knock Terrell Owens, because what he did in the NFL, he was one of the premier wide receivers. His numbers matched up with Randy Moss. The guy has got game. But the guy's been also out of the game now for 5 years. I don't know how much commitment he's had in terms of workouts on the field against elite receiver or elite defensive backs. I don't know who's been throwing him the football. I guess it remains to be seen, so it's tough for me to comment on something like that. But I do know this, Ballsy. Father time catches up with all of us. At 44 years of age, when Jerry Rice turned 40, he wasn't as effective as he was when he was 25. So now you've got a guy who's 44 years old coming into a league that I know that the CFL isn't what the NFL is, but I just, man, I don't know what to say anymore, Ballsy. I'm just confused. All these moves, people coming in, people coming out. I feel like it's a big distraction on a bye week when you should have been buckling down, focusing on Calgary, and now this just happened right in the middle. Why didn't they release him at the end of last week, Ballsy?
Yeah.
After the game, why didn't you just say, listen, man, we're cutting ties with you right now. We're moving forward 2 weeks. Let's focus. But
yeah.
We wait a week? We wait a week to tell a guy via text over the phone or something that, sorry, thanks for your services? We're playing a big game in 5 days. What do I think about Terrell Owens? He was a great receiver in the NFL. One of the best there ever was, okay? But he's 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If he can come in here, if we sign him and he comes in here and contributes, hey, I'm all for him. But I am skeptical of a guy who hasn't played professional football in 5 years. Okay, I used to play hockey back in the day, Ballsy. I can tell you this much. When I was playing college hockey, I was in the best shape of my life. 5 years after the fact, when I came home and started playing stick and puck every second weekend,
mm-hmm,
I was not the same player.
Wow.
And I'm saying at a professional level, Ballsy, at a professional level, you need reps. And 5 years away from something, I'm telling you, you better get out the 2x4 and the sledgehammer to knock off,
wow,
the rust. I hope it's not there.
I'll tell you one thing. I wish, if they're going to get Terrell Owens, they might as well dust off Nick Lewis, because he's living in town. I'd rather see the all-time receptions leader that knows the CFL come play instead of Terrell Owens. That one makes no sense to me. The Terrell Owens one makes no sense to me, because when you let go Rob Bagg, you said it was a young man's game. Well, Rob Bagg was 32, not 44. I get he's not T.O., but he's not T.O., if you know what I mean. Terrell Owens is past his prime. When he was let go with Seattle in 2011, the last time he was on a football field, he said he wasn't good enough then. So what would make you think he's good enough now? It's ridiculous. We don't need any more attention here in this town.
And balls, you touched on Nick Lewis. At least Nick Lewis knows how to get a first down. He'll run it 8 yards down the field. Granted, it might take him 3 seconds to get there, but he'll catch the football, and it'll be a first down every time. And so whoever you bring in, I sure as to God hope that it's a suitable replacement for Daron Carter, because I know what Daron Carter is sometimes off the field. I know that he's got a bit of a head on him sometimes, that he pouts a little bit. I get that. But I'm telling you, when that guy's on and you're throwing him the football, the guy makes plays. The guy makes plays down the field, and he makes this team better. And I'm hoping that our team's better without him. It remains to be seen. We can criticize all we want. At the end of the day, balls, you know it as well as I do, Sunday at 5 p.m., we're playing the best team in the country again. We're going to find out what this offense can do without Daron Carter. And I'm sure as the hell hoping we put up more than 2 touchdowns, because we're going to need it.
Are you watching the game by yourself?
You know what, Ballsy? I think I might be watching it with some buddies this time. I might need a shoulder to cry on. But, hey, I'm cheering for them. I hope they can get it done, man. But either way, you know I'm going to be fired up. So let's get her done. Let's bring in Calgary. Let's see what we got. Hopefully the defense pins their ears back and proves that we're still the best. So
We love Sheldon the caller because he's the best. Thanks for this, buddy.
All right, boss. You have a good one.
All right, Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair, Wheel Estate, and Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home realty experts. We're joined by Tom Sargent, the coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops, and the Drive for Five straight championships. Drive for Five starts this weekend in Regina. You must be pumped, Tom.
Well, pretty excited, but we sure fall into a great opponent, our arch rival. So, yeah, they'll certainly let us know, you know, where we stand, what we've done, who we've recruited, and how we come together as a team so far in 2018.
I would think you got to be excited about that, though, Tom. For a guy that's coaching a team that's won 4 in a row. We talked about this earlier in an earlier podcast episode, where you're trying to keep these guys motivated and going, and maybe that's not hard. I don't know. It's a cyclical sport in terms of junior football, but to play your arch rival right away, that'll get the juices going.
Oh, there's no question about that. Absolutely. And we've sort of talked to our team about that. And, you know, the good thing about the game with Regina, you throw it all stats, records, and this and that. And it's, you know, it's just South football versus North football and this great football province of Saskatchewan, and that we feel, you know what, there ain't any better football being played than right here in Saskatchewan. So we're lucky we're able to, hey, we'll know where we stand in terms of toughness and playmaking and all those things, because Regina's done a fantastic job building her team up again this year. They look real good on paper.
Yeah, so what do you know about the Regina squad?
Well, we know that, they've done a good job recruiting a lot of players from out east and had a good job recruiting players in the south. So they've lost a lot of good players, but so have we. And we're all sort of in that game of building the roster. So there's a lot of unknowns. And, you know, they got a whole new defensive staff led by, you know, defense coordinator Alex Smith, who I've coached against years ago. It's great to welcome him back into our league. And, you know, the expertise and knowledge he brings, you know, is exceptional. So, you know, we know it's going to be a real sturdy test right off the bat, and we're excited about it.
Dom Sargent joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy and his team looking for a 5th straight national championship. How excited are you yourself to have a chance for a drive for 5?
Well, I've never gone through it before, so yeah, it's real good, you know, to have that chance. Who would ever think that or believe that? And, you know, we've had a lot of good things come our way and go our way, you know, at the end of the day, we're just focused on this team this year and seeing what their identity is going to be. And as I said, not a better game than play against Regina to see who we are and what we want to become. And, you know, we've certainly set lofty goals again this year, but so is Regina and so is a lot of other teams. And, it always comes down at the end. It's a long season. You got to be smart. But, you know, boy, the litmus test that's taking place this weekend is going to be fantastic, because, you know, Regina's team we played in the PFC final last year is a great game. And, you know, both teams had, you know, could have gone either way. And it was just fortunate that things ended up on our good side.
It sounds like Tom Sargent is like Bill Belichick. He doesn't want to talk about 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014. He's only talking about 2018. And maybe that's what keeps it fresh for you, right?
Well, I think, dude, that's a big part of it. You know, there's no question about it. And I've learned boy, once you start living in the past, it catches up to you, and it's not very good. So we've kept our eye on the prize, and we got a lot of work to do. You know, as I said, we lost a lot of key starters. There's a lot of development that needs to take place, and coaches are working hard to get it right. I'm still not comfortable who my top 40 is for Saturday night yet. So, you know, we're grinding, and we're challenging, and we hope we bring the right players to go into a hostile environment and come out and play Hilltop football, and that's easier said than done.
It's always cool to come to the stadium where the professional football team plays, the Rough Riders. On the weekend, the Rough Riders are playing a big game here. Just kind of adds to the atmosphere too, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. Anytime you get in that bus, and it's a 2.5 hours for where we travel, is a short bus ride. But then once you pull into that amazing stadium that the great city of Regina and this province built, it's it really brings things home, and it really makes people feel special. The players feel special. I feel special coaching on that sideline, and it certainly means a lot. And there's not a better place to play besides in Saskatoon. And, we've learned, though, we only want to play there once a year. So we got to make sure we go down there and take care of business so we don't have to go back into that environment.
It's amazing you and I have talked this long because I'm a former Ram. So with that in mind, I wanted to ask you this. Has that rivalry with the Thunder kind of got to the Ram Hilltop level yet, or are we still working on that?
No, it's pretty much there. Ever since in 2013 when they, what's the old saying? You know, you're never too worried about anyone until they have something that you don't. And, we'd finished first in 2013. We'd won in 2010, 11, and 12. And Regina came into our barn and absolutely kicked our butts. And ever since then, all of a sudden they had something that we wanted. And so it helped to flip the switch. And after that year, it's led to this drive for five. So, those things we don't forget. And as I said, it's on now. And it's been great Coach McCauley and his group do a fantastic job. And they certainly bring out the best in us. And that's the truly greatness of any rivalry. And, at the end of the day, you mark on your calendars certain teams. And for us, it's only and has been Regina Thunder.
Okay, so lastly about your team. I don't want to say an area of concern, but what's one area on your team as the four-time defending champs that you're intrigued to watch in week one?
To be very frank, it's my depth. It's how they play in special teams. Our starting 12 on O or starting 12 on D, we like. They're good. They're good. And so we feel real good about that. But I'm worried about our depth. Last year we had stronger depth, which flows over in your special teams. And they always say special teams are 30-year game. So, that's your cover guys. That's your blocking guys and returns. And so these guys haven't had a lot of playing experience. And so that's something that has me a little concerned. And as I said, especially in the first two or three games of the year, special teams always seem to either make the difference or get in the way of you having success. So that's where we're putting a lot of time and try and get some of these young kids game ready.
That's Tom Sargent, head coach of the four-time defending champion Saskatoon Hilltops. They'll play the Thunder at Mosaic Stadium, 7 o'clock Saturday. Thanks for this, Tom.
Anytime, Ballsy. You take care, and thanks for all you do.
And thanks to Tom Sargent and all my guests for joining me on episode 44 of Growing the Game with Ballsy, as we're slowly growing steam as we continue our quest to preserve and grow the game of football in this fine province we live in, Saskatchewan, as I like to highlight the amateur football athletes in this province. And of course, we can't forget about our favorite football team, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. If there is a story idea you want me to pursue or somebody you want me to talk to, one of the young athletes, boys or girls, give me an email at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. I'd be pleased to follow the trail. And if you'd like to sponsor this podcast and continue to grow it with me, you can email me at the same address, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. A reminder, you can catch me on game day, on Rough Rider game day, before the game on 620 CKRM, the Rough Rider Radio Network, and after the game on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, fielding your calls. And of course, I'm weekday mornings 6 to 10 on 104.9 The Wolf in Regina. Until next time, talk to you later.